Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you. Welcome to the House of Love as we continue the theme for the month, limitless energy. We want to open up the channel. We want to open the channel of healing, of community, of compassion, of understanding today on a deeper level. We're having a conversation. The brothers are here. We're having a conversation on rape, domestic violence, and how do we men, society, our females themselves, respect women. We're all in this together. So join the conversation, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Now it's time for a nice prayer to bring us together so we can know that we are about love. We're about healing together.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Yes, indeed. We are wonderful, we are whole, we are free. And because we are free, we are going to recreate. We're going to recreate and heal what's wanting to be healed. The brothers will be joining us real soon to have the conversation. And we are laying the foundation to break the chain, of hurt, of rape, of abuse. The chain of negativity, the chain of bondage. It's time to be free, and we almost join arms together. I don't care which side of the fence you're on. We need each other. So we are ready, joining collectively, energetically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, you name it. Join it together to break the shell. It's time. And I'm calling the brothers out. Bring your strength so we can heal.
Yeah.
That's right. 1 billion rising. You are one in that billion that needs to rise. You are the one, male, female, all of us. We are responsible to turn our consciousness and bring in healing to the planet. That was Break the Chain, produced by the organization called 1 Billion Rising. And to find out more about that, for that organization and their campaign, and all the great work they're doing to empower women, to empower humanity with education, awareness, and healing, go to 1billionrising.com. 1billionrising.com. Oh, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Okay, well, let me bring you on here so I can hear. Okay, good. Okay, good. Thank you, Celeste. You know what? If you haven't filled it, if you haven't felt it yet, filled it. Okay, well, that's fine. We'll make up new words. Why not? Who's listening? Who's taking notes? I am. I want to start the show differently. Start the show differently all the time. But right now, I just want to pause. I want to take a moment because I understand, I overstand, I innerstand, I am aware that this topic is an emotional topic. We're talking about rape, we're talking about domestic violence, just that two right there. So I am just acknowledging and joining forces with you, the listeners, wherever you are, even if you're listening to the show on the archive. I'm joining with the spirit of God, of truth, of love, of compassion within you that is always about healing and declaring that this show is, will be what it needs to be, that anyone who needs help in this particular area will hear what they need to hear, and they will be inspired to move in the direction of their healing, in the direction of empowerment, that they will get the help they need to help them in whatever's going on emotionally. And they stand, they get to a place where they can stand, where they let go of blame, of guilt, of judgment, regardless of what society's saying about their experience. So I am calling forth a higher consciousness. I am calling forth love. I am calling forth healing today. That even if you didn't experience it, but you know somebody else that experienced rape or in a domestic violence relationship, that just your presence here today is part of the healing. And I invite everyone that is listening, including myself and my guests, that we stay open to a new awareness for the word that we need to hear to assist us on our spiritual journey. From that place in consciousness, I release the show, I give thanks, and I know that it is done. And I just let it be and let God be God through each and every one of us as the guest, as the host, as the listeners, or whatever title we use to describe ourselves, because we need each other, and so it is. Amen. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning into yourself first. And then tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And when you change with the change, you can't help but make a difference. Because it is possible to not change with the change. And you just keep the status quo alive. But when we change with the change, we bring healing to the planet. So today, just by the fact that you're here, I don't care if you've run out, but oops, no, I'm not part of it. You have now stepped into being a healing angel, healing agent, an agent of love. You've been ordained, anointed through the power invested in me. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Those of you listening on the phone line, I appreciate you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Those of you listening online and through social media, thank you for tuning in and listening on the archive. I am so grateful for you. And I am so grateful. And I'll say this, because I feel to say, I believe in humanity. We are the answer, and we are all willing to do what we need to do, that when we leave this adventure, this planet, this earth, we can look back and say, wow, what a ride. And I'm so grateful. Maybe even before we leave, on the way out, we can say, I am so grateful that I added my life to the planet. I can rest in peace knowing that the planet is enlightened because of my presence. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. I Am is your host. The I Am presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade. Ade, Ade Fawishe, the Nazi professor, the metaphysical rebel. We're all in this together, and my brothers are showing up. If you don't know, it's almost like monthly, but quite regularly, I have what we call men's panel, where I bring brothers that are, I really see them as spiritual warriors, because they're walking the path. They're about healing. They're not afraid to show their vulnerable self. They are spiritually authentic. They're willing to challenge themselves and others. And they're willing to show up for what they believe in. And I'm so, so grateful that Ashande is here, Joe Kelly is here, Don Wolf will be joining us soon. And we're going to start the conversation in around, I don't know, 5-6 minutes or so, around that time, as we all settle in. Now, I want to invite all of you to, you know, wherever you are, whatever you're moving through, whatever brought you to listen to the show, first of all, we're encouraging you to call in, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad. If you're already listening through the phone lines, press 1 on your keypad to add your thoughts. I am aware that this conversation can trigger past memory, can trigger things you didn't, you've forgotten. I am aware that it's a heavy conversation. And I'm also aware that we can move through it, we can grow through it. So if anywhere in this conversation you notice yourself being so triggered, and you're about to explode, we're going to share some numbers with you, helpline numbers that you can call. If you have a counselor, call your counselor. If you have a life coach, call your life coach. If you have a friend, if you just need somebody, if you need to take time off work, like, oh, wait a minute, something's happening. The opportunities are there for us. We just got to be willing to use it. But I'm also saying be responsible for yourself. If it gets too much for you, I say, do what you need to do. If you need to stop listening, you gather yourself, then do that. That's very important, because what we're talking about is not just something that happened today. This is something that's been happening for years. This is in our DNA. It's been passed on from generation to generation. It's been passed on. And so now what we're seeing is an opportunity for us to be part of the healing. You get to define what healing means to you. Let me bring on Celeste. Hey, Celeste.
Hello, Life Coach Ade. How are you?
I am wonderful. I know that much. I am wonderful, and I'm grateful to have this conversation. And I'm so grateful that, you know, the brothers are showing up. It makes it a little bit easier. This is not a kind of conversation to have. It's not a conversation to have by yourself.
No. Not at all. And we have the true spiritual warriors joining us. And they're going to show us how they interact with divine feminine energy and the women in their lives as they offer insight with conversation from all of our beautiful listeners about what we can do to break the chain. So I'm nervously excited because, you know, whenever there's a healing getting ready to happen, I say yes. So I say yes to all. I anoint all of you. Let's do this.
Yes. You know, what was it, about, I don't know, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, we did a show on domestic violence. And this kind of reminds me of that show. And, I mean, I really know, I know that there's nothing that can't be talked about if the intention is right. If people are focusing on bringing themselves and the people talking, it's about healing. How can we move each other forward? I don't think there's anything we can't talk about. Sometimes it's rough, but we just need some willing hearts. So I'm grateful. I am grateful. I'm sort of open to today's conversation. I have things, I've gathered information, but I'm really, really just taking each moment at a time because this is such a sensitive topic. And let's see what's going on here. Just getting ready to... Celeste, we'll come back to you, and then we'll bring the brothers on. We're waiting for the other spiritual warrior, Don Wolf.
Indeed.
Gregory Ewood. And we'll continue the conversation. Thank you, Celeste.
My pleasure.
Joe Kelly is in the house. Ashenda is in the house. Let me see who is in the chat. Thank you all for being here. Tia is in the house. Tracy is everywhere, evenly present. Electra is here. Silent listeners disguised as guests. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Those of you listening on the phone line, Sarah, a.k.a. PK, is in the house. That's right, preachers care. And all the other phone numbers. So the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad when you call in. You can call in to listen to the show. You can call in to share your thoughts, ask questions. You can call in and share. I'm really ready. So as soon as Don Wolf makes it in here, we'll continue the conversation. This month, if you don't know already, on Life Conversations Radio, particularly on the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, the theme is limitless energy. What does that mean? It means that we are connected to an energy that continues to resource us. It's about healing. The energy is always available. The energy of love is always available. The energy of understanding, of kindness. Yes, we're having, depends on where you are in consciousness. And that's very important. Depending on where we are in consciousness, you might think, well, what does that mean? But there is a way of being. There's something that you feel in yourself when someone is kind to you, when someone's been loving to you, when someone's been supportive. There's something that you feel. That feeling, that thing that you can't even describe, I call it energy, but it's so much more than that. That's what we're focusing on. We're focusing on being able to recognize and remember that even though we are in the body, there is a part of us that is invisible. There's a part of us that is non-physical. There's so much more to us than what we see in the mirror. Now, if you believe that all there is this human body, this flesh, the bone, the blood, and the brain, and the heart, and after that, that's it, so be it. That's fine. You don't have to debate that. If you don't believe in God or believe in something after that, that's fine by me. As long as you are open to being a loving human being on this planet. And I'm not even telling anybody to go out and be of service. Yes, I advocate that we are here to be of service. But if your focus is about being the best with yourself, with your family members, recognizing that everything you do, everything you think about is affecting you and everybody around you, then that's good enough because it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what we believe after life. Dealing with this life is a lot of work. So why debate where I don't believe in heaven or in hell or there is no hell, there is no hell? It really doesn't matter. But right now, are you at peace? Right now, do you feel whole? Right now, do you feel loving? Right now, do you feel like you're in a friendly universe? Do you feel like this planet, this earth, is a friendly planet? Or do you think this is an evil world? And no matter what we say or do, it's always going to be the same. Well, I will say this. If you believe this is an evil world, continue to listen. Not because I want you to change your mind, but I want you to continue to listen, suspend your doubts, and even at the end of the conversation, you still feel that way. Yes, share with us, because then we can all grow. We can see your perspective. You don't have to agree with what I say. I don't have to agree with what you say, but we can grow together when we just listen to one another, because listening is an act of love. And that's what everybody needs at the end of the day. We all want to be loved. We all want to love. And we all want to know we are loved. All right. Celeste, we got some numbers. I do want to check in with the brothers. Everybody's pretty much here, I think. And I know Don Wolf is on the line. So, Don Wolf, can you please press 1 on your keypad? Ah, got it. Celeste, you've got the hotline numbers. Let me bring you back on. So you can share that with the listeners if anybody needs to jump off and go make some calls because something was triggered in them. Celeste, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here. I have the National Domestic Violence hotline number. This is 24 hours a day hotline. It is 1-800-799-SAFE, and that's 800-799-7233. And then we have a hotline number for rape. I've got two here. Nationwide RAIN, the National Rape Crisis Hotline, is 1-800-656-4673, 1-800-656-4673, and then there's the Healing Woman Foundation, 1-800-477-4111, 1-800-477-4111, and I will also put these numbers in the chat room, Life Coach Today.
Okay, good. Give me the domestic violence number again.
Sure. It's 1-800-799-7233.
Great. Thank you, Celeste.
So you're welcome.
We'll take care of that on the front end so that everybody's empowered to do whatever they need to do to take care of their emotional self. And the brothers are available, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about this wonderful spiritual warriors who are in the house.
It is my honor and my pleasure to do so. First up of our spiritual warriors, we have Ashinde Amun, who is a vibrant spirit, a father, a husband, and a Centers for Spiritual Living practitioner. He's an urban mystic, occultist, soul-filled artist, poet, and spiritual activist. Ashinde is committed to using his particular way of God expression and helping others see love in and through their life. His charge and mission has been to spread the seeds of love and light to each experience he has been blessed to have. Next up, we have Joe Kelly, better known as the Dad's Man. He's been fascinated by the influence we, as men, have on our children, stepchildren, and everyone else in our families. Since 2002, he's been talking with, writing about, and speaking about dads, stepdads, other men and families. These conversations with thousands of men across North America led to the stories and insights in Dads and Daughters and five other fathering books. And last but not least is Gregory E. Woods, also known as Don Wolf, keeper of stories. He's a musician, a writer, and a social activist. Stories are a healer's tool, an intangible, tangible force of creation and from creation. He uses the art of weaving stories in diverse settings to restore balance and clarity of thought, spirit, and intent to people in or out of ceremonial settings, especially while supporting the youth at the Empowerment Center and other facilities in a greater West Washington metropolitan area. Family, please welcome our brothers panel, the men's panel as spiritual warriors.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Celeste. And I'm going to bring them in the order of the way you introduced them. Ashende, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm good, brothers and sisters.
Yes, yes, yes.
I am okay. And sisters.
There you go. Yes, sisters. Yeah. Joe Kelly, how are you doing, my friend?
I am good. It's good to be with you again.
Yes, thank you for being here, because I don't think I would have this conversation without you guys over here. I need a backup. Don Wolf, Keeper of Story. Again.
Yeah,
how are you, my brother? How are you?
I'm doing good today.
Good, good, good. Thank you all for being here. Well, let's jump right on in, and let's just do a little check-in. I'm going to go back to Ashende. Ashende, what's been bubbling up in your world? What have you been growing through, and what are you feeling right now? Whatever you want to share with us.
Well, in this present moment, I am feeling a little bit in daddy mode overdrive. I'm monitoring now a two-year-old. My daughter just turned two, and my son just turned six. So I'm, you know, they're evolving and coming into their own, and words are said now that weren't said. And I got to get used to my daughter saying no to daddy. And everything is no, no. So, exploring that and exploring the summer here in Los Angeles and what that brings with it, the pulse of the city and the energy of that. So, you know, I live in an urban area, so, you know, there's a lot of action going on. So we're just trying to spread love and be that love, you know. No matter what package it comes to you as that you may not agree with.
I know, that's right. Or maybe like a different interpretation of what you thought. And I love the fact that you're in daddy mode. So you basically saying, who said men can multiply? Okay, well, that too. Well, men can multiply, of course. Multitask.
Yes.
You know, daddy mode and doing the show. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Joe Kelly, my brother, my friend. How are you doing? What's going on in your world? What's bubbling up in your consciousness?
I'm feeling quiet today.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the best word. And and been pondering what there is to say about the situation, the topic you've presented us with, and how to say it in a way that is healing and is respectful, and with consciousness that, you know, any particular story is representative of much larger things, and I think it's the larger things that we need to address, as well as feeling the pain of one particular story.
So true. Let's go to Don Wolf, Keeper of Stories. My brother, what's bubbling up in your awareness? What's going on in your world?
Well, I'm in another state right now, on my father-in-law's back patio. Mm-hmm. And while I was up here, my oldest son and his wife had their first child, and a girl, and that introduced me to an energy line, for lack of a better term, that I'm touching very gingerly. I don't know how to put. I don't know what to do with it. So when I get back to Maryland, hopefully the baby will be presented to me. And that's what I'm thinking about. And there is a quietness surrounded by family up here. The topic is on my mind. 'Cause something I I've been seeing a lot of spirits of women that are been broken really bad. And it's one thing to hear the stories; it's another thing to see their spirit.
Yes.
And so I've been thinking a lot about it.
Yes.
But other than that, I'm doing really well. It's cool out here. Mm-hmm. Nice and mellow. But I'm really glad to be on this call. It's going to be a good. Yeah. I'm glad to be a part of this call.
Yes. Yes, I'm grateful for each and every one of you and the listeners as well. I must confess, I saw an article on, I think it was Saturday, and I thought, wow, how interesting that I'm having a conversation with our brothers and seeing this article. And I sent Celeste an email, or maybe it was a chat. I said to her, you know, this would be a good topic for Monday, but I don't think I want to touch it. Yes, I was very clear that it's a heavy topic, it's emotionally charged, but I said to her, I don't think I want to talk about it, but I told her, I said, we'll talk about it later, and I was open to see, you know, how we can go about it. And over the weekend, there were things that came to me around the topic, particularly rape and domestic violence, that had me say, okay, you are ready to have this conversation, and you don't have to do it yourself. You've got other people joining you. So I was like, okay, all right, I say yes. I say yes to the call. All right, so there's so many places I want to go with this. And I do have an audio clip that I want to play, but I won't play it now. And I'm going to bring on Celeste for the benefit of listeners who may not know this. The story of Jada, I don't know her last name, I don't think there is, well, but there's a young lady who was abused. I'm going to bring Celeste on, and using that individual story to tell a global story, if you will, because rape is not just happening in America, it's not just happening, you know, it's happening all over the world. It's, in, you know, there's things going on in India that you're just thinking, really? Really? That just makes you, so anyway. I'm not going to go too deep. let me not go too deep. Celeste, so just for the benefit of the listeners who may not know, or people in different countries, or just wherever, just to bring everybody to one accord, could you tell us the story about the young lady called Jada?
Yes. Jada is a 16-year-old girl who was invited to a party by one of her friends. The first thing that I need to clear up is Jada was not drinking. From her own mouth, she was offered punch, which was spiked with a drug that rendered her unconscious. As she was wiped out, some boys at the party had sex with her, raped her, took pictures, laid her out in a pose, and there's another girl, too, who hasn't come out, but there's a picture of her as well. Jada wasn't aware that she was raped. She started to get phone calls from people who had seen the picture displayed on social media, people telling her she's going to be okay. Was she okay? Was she all right? And that's when Jada herself went and saw those pictures, shared it with her mother, and decided that instead of hiding, she was going to come out and share the story to keep this from happening to another young woman. Now, on top of Jada already experiencing this rape, her rape became viral, and there were hashtags created called the Jada Pose. A song came out, rap lyrics, and she's being trolled on the internet, which means people are mocking her and trying to humiliate her on top of the incident she's already gone through. This is a very strong young woman. But the more that we share her story and share her strength and her anger, we have the power to offer healing. That, in a nutshell, is Jada. You can find out more. And if you happen to see a hashtag Jada Pose, I strongly recommend that you hashtag justice for Jada. And that's the story. Mm.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So, you know, now we're sort of on one accord, and that story and the rape that I really was saying, because I feel kind of hesitant to say this, so let me see. Okay, nope, don't say that. I had to check in on that one. But rape is happening every day, every moment, and even probably happening as we speak. So hearing that story, I believe that some of our listeners have experienced it. So I want us to kind of be from a place of, with an open heart, so to speak, and as we move forward. So thinking of Jada and the personal experiences that we've had or people that we know. So I'm feeling kind of led to go to Joe Kelly on this one, to start with Joe Kelly. Joe, especially, you know, with your work, and I don't really have a question, because I always say that I want this to be space where we come together, where we just share what we're feeling. I don't want to interview you guys. I want us to have a conversation, because they're females who really want to know what men really think about this and wanting more men to speak up. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, whatever I, as a man talking about sexual violence, I feel a responsibility to start off by challenging many of the myths about sexual violence. And I think one of the largest myths, and it's one that serves men very well, one of the largest myths is that rape usually happens at the hands of a stranger. Rape by a stranger is relatively rare. Sexual assault is almost always committed by someone who knows the victim, as Jada's story demonstrates. Maybe somebody very close, a member of their own family, and maybe, you know, school acquaintances or whatever. It's very rarely is a stranger leaping out from behind the bushes or waiting in the back seat of the car. That's one thing. Second thing is to acknowledge that sexual assault happens far too often to children, to young people, and to male and female children. That's not at all to suggest that, you know, men are more victimized than women, or women are more victimized. You know, it's not about keeping score. It's just stating a fact that this harm happens to far too many people, far too many human beings. Another thing is that I think is important for people to realize is that people do survive this, and people can find ways, if they have been perpetrated upon, that they can find ways. It's not easy, it's painful, but they can find ways to thrive and to reach a point where that damage to their humanness does not define them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then the other thing that I thought, because I caught a little bit of your introduction and talking about, you know, how widespread this phenomenon is, and I you said something about it's in our DNA, and I don't believe it is in our DNA, this kind of sexual violence, and maybe I'm completely naive and Pollyannish. I think it's a choice that people make. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that people are. It's an the attitude that makes it possible for men to choose this behavior is an attitude that's taught.
Mm-hmm.
it's not part of how we're born. And you know, I just spent the weekend with my grandson, and I just heard the story of a new granddaughter. You know, we look at these very little people, and they don't see gender. They don't want to harm. We teach our children this, and we mm-hmm. can teach them something different.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And maybe clarification is not the word.
And that's okay. And it's whether and maybe I misheard what you said. But regardless, I think there are people. There certainly are people who completely buy into the notion, and I don't believe you do, but the people buy into the notion that, oh, boys will be boys. This is just the way men are. This is just the way women are. Women like it. You know, right. Men can't help doing it. And that's complete bullshit.
Right. It is complete bullshit. And understanding communication, especially sensitive topics like this, because we hear things based on where we are, and it can be, and I thank you for bringing that up, because people who don't know me or don't, you know, just listen to me on the show, and they're like, well, okay, it's important to make sure that I'm clear. And what I mean is not that men can't help themselves. What I'm saying is rape has been happening from way back when, and it's taught
right.
so much so that it becomes a habit. And you know, when I think of the things that children are learning today, and the things that they're exposed to, how they're desensitized, that if it's not checked, it will get passed on. It becomes, you know, the idea that a woman can be raped while a child, while a woman is pregnant, I think that affects the chemical, the makeup of the child. Now, I'm not saying mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, well, you know, men don't have any choice, so we just have to figure out a way
right.
of helping men not rape. It's like some people grew up in that environment where they saw their mother being raped or their mother being slapped around. So those kind of things. It's like we are all being called now to put an end to it. And the solution is not always easy. It's not always easy. Because we got to get emotional. We got to be willing to be right and be willing to be wrong and to be willing to let go of right and wrong.
Yep. Yep.
Let me go to Ashende. Ashende, your thoughts on this topic today, particularly right now we're talking about rape, but, you know, you can go to domestic violence if you want to. Just the open forum.
Well, yeah, it is a very deep topic. And I've been kind of surrounded by that essence throughout my life. And,
what do you mean surrounded by that essence? You mean
well,
rape and domestic violence?
Yes.
Okay.
And seeing its take on women and from their own childhood on up into their womanhood and seeing how that affects mm-hmm. them as women. And not even really knowing and coming into a realization that had taken place. And then you start adding the pieces of why one's behavior patterns were such. And so on one aspect, you have it where you've witnessed it. And then on the other aspect, you have that you are getting it from the other end, you know. My mom was a part of that. You know, she mm-hmm. had been sexually assaulted, and harbored very much resentment against black men. Mm-hmm. I never understood why. And I had a kind of a flashback, if you will, in a meditation that I had, and I visually saw that happening, and I brought it up to her, and so she was stunned. How did you know that? Because I was so young, but the memories came flooding back from that moment, and then it all made sense, you know, of her dislike or mistrust in black men.
And so so just having it from that angle, from, you know, you grow up, you know, you grow up and hanging with your street comrades and you hear stories and, you know, I've been in parties where those things have went down. And you try to be the voice of reason without, you know, yourself physically getting into an altercation. And it's hard, you know, when you look at it from the standpoint of a kid, because you got to get into the conversation of there were other kids around there. So were there any conscientious people to just stand forth? In my case, I never could get enough rallying around me to, you know, to make a difference. One against five is kind of a, you know, it only can go so far. And, you know, you try to break away and call, you know, the proper, you know, authorities or what have you. But so with that, I go back to what the brother Joe was saying, you know, it does start so young, you know, and still I have a son and a daughter. So we really want to be mindful on how we approach our kids and dealing with issues of power and issues of expressing their own sensuality and you know, like I said, it's the summertime here, and I'm seeing young girls walking around like I did not see when I was a child or a kid growing up at their age. And so, you know, I flash forward that, like, oh, my God, what are they going to be wearing when my daughter gets 16? You know? We walking around naked. We go way back. So,
right.
So you're having all these dynamics, and kids are being bombarded with sex is power and violation is okay, you know. To violate a human being is okay to do as long as, you know, you're getting yours on, you know. And so this is a topic that we will have to have it more and more again in order for it to spread and for it to catch wildfire, to change consciousness, because that's what that takes, consciousness shifting at a major level.
So much there. Is that Joe?
The framework of this country was built on the rape of other women. I mean, The framework of this country was built on the rape of other women.
Yes, and I
think that that's an important thing to remember. And I think, you know, another myth that I forgot to mention is that rape or sexual assault is about sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Right.
It's not at all. It's about power.
Mm-hmm.
It's about power over. It is about invasion, you know, violating. And it has nothing to do with what, you know, the behavior of the woman or the, you know, what the woman is wearing. You know, and again, that's, you know, that notion that it's about sex and that, you know, a woman in scantily clad woman makes it impossible, you know, for a man to repress his sexual desires, or therefore he must rape her. That's a complete fallacy, you know, and that it's because it's about power. It's like I said before, it's almost always about someone who knows the victim. It's not like somebody's walking down the street and he sees someone in a bikini and he has to jump her. You know, It's not what we think it is most of the time.
Yeah.
Certainly not what the culture thinks it is, or the myths that have been conveyed. And again, I think, you know, as a man, I feel it's really important to acknowledge the way in which those myths serve me as a man. They reinforce my power and privilege.
And I want to say this, you brought awareness to, and I'm coming to you, Don Wolf, But Joe, you brought awareness to something I've been really not struggling with, but really thinking about, the whole idea of, you know, if women don't wear something short, something that's sexy or revealing, then men won't do it. And I didn't quite believe that's the answer. But I was really sitting with it. And just as you said that, it's about power. And I've always felt that, but I just couldn't make that connection. And because there are many women walking around wearing all kinds of different clothes. Ashinde was talking about the teenagers, what they're wearing. All the men are not jumping on them. But the ones who are making a choice because of whatever they're dealing with, the disease, and I know there are people, because we've had a show on domestic violence, who will say it's not a disease. But for me, I think there's a disease in their mindset, in the way they think, it's an emotional disease, and they've been desensitized and think, oh, I can attack this person who I know I can overpower. And that brings some clarity for me.
Right, and it's a choice. It's a choice to use power in that way. And, you know,
yes,
grandmothers in their ratty old bathrobes get raped. You know, it's not about it's not about what the person is wearing or doing.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Today's topic title is, we're talking about rape, we're talking about domestic violence and respecting women, because really that's what it is. Down to is respecting women, respecting the feminine energy. And there's that, don't, one thing you can't bring to me is like the feminine energy is holding about women. We as a society, we're afraid of the power of that feminine energy, and it's showing up. So we attack when we feel vulnerable. We attack, and there's so many places I can go with it. But right now, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Press one on your keypad. And those of you that are already on the phone lines, if you want to share your thoughts, ask a question, just press one on your keypad. Now, I know Don Wolf has so much bubbling up for him now after all of that. Oh, wait a minute. There it is. Don Wolf, your thoughts.
Well, it's very disturbing, all of it. Piggyback on what Joe said, I've long, since my early awakening, when I'm referring to early awakening, when I was a young man, my teenage years, I've always been troubled by the notion, the clinical analysis of rapists, because there's a detachment to the description of it. And as I got older and started to be more adventurous and moved into a variety of worlds, on television and in public and in publications, there's always the detached conversation that psychologists and psychoanalysts say that they remove all the stimuli and say that rape is about power, when in that world where I've dealt with in various capacities with rapists, but the spirit of it that's in the air so thick, all that's mixed together, the stimuli, different men are turned on by different ages, a variety of things, and the language always felt to me as if it was protecting something when you separated such a pervasive spirit and said that, and separated from it one of the aspects of the why of a rapist's action, and say it's just about power, when it is, but there are other stimuli that are always mixed in there. And because somewhere, even in the judiciary system, there is a feeling of the action of people who are trying to protect themselves because they are rapists and condone it. And it's in the judicial system. It's in the laws. Even when you're going into the Old Testament, the laws that govern rape have a language, there's a feel to it that provides protection for a man if he is a rapist. and not going into all of that. But some listeners need to go into the Old Testament. I suggest that because that the Old Testament is so deeply embedded into, as we all know, into American thought, into Western thought and theology. And I agree with Joe about there being a choice, but at some point that spirit takes over and you have moved beyond choice. And I think all of us have had moving into our what it is to be a sexual being and be a man and be a male, the power, that there's a choice of how you use your power. And there's always been opportunities where you can just take a woman's sex from them. But there are foundational things that are placed there that separate a man from the action of rape and then move him into the place where his foundations say, this is a better place for you to be. So questions come up. What makes a man a protector of a woman? What makes a man not take advantage of a woman sexually? What, like, I just heard the story of a young boy in the midst of his peers who are going to commit the act of rape. And you're in that spot, but you realize you don't have the power to change what's going to happen to that girl in that space. And it creates a moral dilemma, which could, with the right things, make that boy into a protector. And then the spirit of rape is as deep in this country as murder is. And those two, many times, they intersect, and the two become one. Have we always had rape as part of mankind's history upon the planet? I don't know. That was probably a yes, and it's probably a no. Because I don't think that that spirit has been able to become a part of every society. But we do know it is intimately, it's embedded in Western society. A Western world belief has gone around the world. Then you look in, and this conversation makes me move into the cultures of Saudi Arabia and Sudan, and something very deep within Islamic culture condones rape in the most terrifying ways. Here we're protected by constitution and some other things, but in that world, it's a different animal because there's still
you said the Muslim religion condones rape.
It's, I'm talking about the culture.
They are
projected one way. Yeah, I lived in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And the things to look for are very subtle. And America can walk right past it and not understand the dynamic that is occurring. But it wasn't until I began to, when I was living in that world, and as the language, the music, and the nuances came together, I was like, oh, my God, this is terrifying. So I had to learn a certain number of things I don't know how to put into words. I don't know how to put them into words to make sure that I didn't become a part of that reality in any capacity. So rape is something right now that is dominating world cultures. And I don't know for certain, but I know that many of the cultures that were dominated by the West had not been visited by this spirit because there were taboos that were centered around the sacred parts, the genitalia. Well, the Western world removed a lot of those taboos and replaced it with the church that did not protect women in a way that some of those traditional cultures did. So one of the questions that comes up with the question of rape has to do with our concept of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things to visit. And then as men, I've been in situations where I've I've stopped the rape, but what mm-hmm. the way I did it was particularly violent. But even if I was a famous person and I told the story of how I intervened and how violently I intervened with the rape that I was witness to, that I witnessed, there would be a whole mm-hmm. large segment of the country that would rise up against me mm-hmm. and start screaming about the rights of ... And so we're living some very strange and perplexing contradictions. They're more perplexing when you're the victim. And the victims right. are men, women, and children. So there's a number of, I didn't understand this in my 20s, but I didn't know that there were women that found ways to rape men and hold them in submission and do with what they will. First time I heard it, I was in a position of authority to do something. I couldn't stop laughing. Until I looked closely in the man's eyes and I saw this pain, and I felt bad, but not one of my coworkers saw what I saw in this man's eyes. So I agree. This is going to take some time to discuss about, but one of the things in the area of solution of this is simple in one sense, but it's not. But one of the solutions right. I would put forward has to be the examples of men who live in such a fashion that rape is not a part of their being, and just the presence of men who are protectors, who understand all these things, and they do not embody that energy is I guess what's the phrase in the Bible, a balming Gideon. It is. There is a healing to being in the presence of men and women who embody that which is sacred, that protects life, and that you know mm-hmm. that if you come in that person's presence, you will not be sexually abused.
Mm-hmm. Can I jump in again?
sure. Actually, we're going to take a call because we got a call
sure.
as well. So go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. This stirs me up a lot, and it's I feel a lot of connection with Don Wolf about this, having witnessed it and be part of my family's, and but I think I, you know, the story you told about, you know, a man being, you know, forced into submission by a woman, that does happen. It doesn't happen very often, not nearly as often as men forcing women into submission. But again, that is about control and power and, you know, I have a really hard time, and I feel a lot of anger stir within me when I hear the dominance of looking at this through the lens of sex and sexuality, and that framing this as a sexual thing is a way of dominating the conversation, dominating the experience, and continuing to perpetrate the violation of the victims, no matter what their gender or their age. And I think what we as men have not done enough of is to sit quietly and maybe even sit in a situation where we are forced to be quiet. And to listen to the victims and survivors mm-hmm. talk about their experience and mm-hmm. have us just experience that. And I have an acquaintance, Seth Matlins, who has put together, he did a dry run a few weeks ago in Los Angeles of an event where there was a big Twitter campaign over the last few months called Yes, All Women, talking about how all women are impacted by sexual violence. Mm-hmm. And Seth, who's a man, put together a reading where they collated a bunch of these tweets and had a group of women on a stage mm-hmm. reading from them to an audience. And people had to sit there quietly and listen. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, and he described his experience and that of the other men there as like reaching a whole different level of awareness of how invasive and wounding and harmful and this is, and how even those of us who don't do it or don't engage in the act ourselves contribute to that. Anyway, yes. Take your I just needed to vent a little bit.
No,
so take
I
your
hear
phone
you.
Call.
I hear you. We're going to take the call. We're going to go to Tanisha in a minute. But I got to say this. I really do hear you, because as I was listening to all of you, I felt this feeling inside of me saying, well, not even saying anything. I just felt this overwhelming feeling like, oh, my God, this is such a big topic. I'm not often, well, I may be afraid to talk about a topic, but I often have the courage to keep moving through it. A friend of mine who I spoke to today said, you're courageous. And at that moment, I'm thinking, no, I just feel like it's a conversation we need to have. But it's not just conversation. We need to be able,
right.
with the example that you said, be able to sit and listen, because part of the problem is we all have an opinion about it and it's all valid, but oftentimes, we're not given the opportunity to feel what we feel about it. Because there is a part of me that's like, okay, let's go to solutions. Tell the brothers, let's talk about solutions. Because there's a part of me that's like, oh, this is just too much. This is probably too much for listeners. And this is
and
why,
that's why
it keeps happening.
And I think it is too much, and I think that's why, you know, one of the motivations for us as men to continue to deny the impact mm-hmm. of this. You know, it's not
mm-hmm,
just
mm-hmm.
about we want to have power over, it's also that it's painful. And there's also this dynamic of, you know, like somebody saying to you, you're courageous for having this conversation. You know, like we four men, you know, going to get a lot of credit for talking about this. Just like, oh my God, you know, the courage it takes for the four of us to have this conversation is minuscule compared to the courage it takes for a survivor to make it through the rest of her or his life.
Yeah. You know, okay, I want to take the call, but I really do hear you. And I will say this, I'm coming to you, trust me, 2 seconds, Tanisha. I think it's about power. It's about sex. It's about sexuality. It's about, because I really think there's a lot of power in our sexual energy, and that gets taken and get robbed from somebody who was raped, who was abused. And I want to just put out there is, even if you, universal you, disagree with somebody's point of view, if they're coming from, if you really believe they're genuine and they're sharing why they think it happened, create a space for it. Okay, that's right too. We all have an opinion, it's all right, but how are we going to bring the solution? What are we going to do to bring healing to it? There's a clip I'm going to play, not right now. I'm going to take a call. I'm going to go to Tanisha from Atlanta, Georgia, I guess. Tanisha, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very well. What's your cool. question or comment?
Well, the comment that I had is I wanted you all to address the concept of the manipulator of the system. The perpetrators who are charismatic, who may be the ministers or the leaders or the law enforcement officers who mm-hmm. may be the perpetrators, but they know how to manipulate the system. And if the woman's voice is already diminished on her own accord and she already feels mm-hmm. powerless through her own, you know, perception, and if she already has damaged self-efficacy, due to the sexual or the emotional violations, how do you address that woman when you have, like I said, someone who knows the system, manipulates the system, and may have the power, and her mm-hmm. voice feels smothered, and there's always that, you know, that, mm-hmm. that shame that she wears?
Wow, good question. Yes, yes. Okay, I'm going to mute you, but I'm going to come back to you. Okay, Tanisha?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Which one of you want to take? Let me unmute Don Wolf here. Which one of you want to take this first?
My goodness.
Well, I'm going to go to Don Wolf because you used to be a police officer. So I'm going to go to you first and then go where I'm led to it, maybe Ashende or Joe. Because you used to be a police officer, Don Wolf, I want to come to you. Having been in that environment, in the law, you've worked with the uniform, and you've seen a lot of different things. What would you say to Tanisha, who's asking the question?
I was trying to duck that one.
yeah, good luck in that. I take orders from higher place.
Because because what she said is happens every day, and it's extremely difficult to maneuver through that because you're dealing with men. And I don't have a good answer for law enforcement, except that you have to really fight and fight. And what has changed over the last 20, 30 years is the number of women who are lawyers, who are police officers, and who are civilian advocates. And the political climate has moved us out of the time when it was impossible for women to get any justice. And the only thing I can offer in the arena of law enforcement is to use the law and logic as best as you can. But that's not enough because there are large pockets across the United States, I've noticed just from traveling, that you really feel like you're just, if you're a woman and a victim, you're just banging your head against the wall because a lot of the women have a mindset who are not victims that there's something wrong with the woman, and it's just a very difficult in pockets of the United States to do that. I can't offer any real hope in that arena because it's an ongoing battle to find real justice in law enforcement. Among ministers in ministry, it's a bit different. You can use the law of not the law, but in ministry, public shame and exposure works very different than it does in law enforcement. You can do the civil action, you can go to court, but in the church industry, because so ministries are built upon what your name is, just exposing, having photos and any of that stuff that we have, it's a different world. It's a different arsenal in the world of ministries, because I've known of some ministers who've been involved in that world of action with rape, adultery, and stuff like that, and it's unbearable for them to have the public humiliation. And then because you're dealing with men, there's also the possibility of having their being physically beaten by men from the woman's family. And so you can't do the physical stuff when you go in law enforcement. But in the real world, what's happened to some of the ministers is being physically beaten by the men of the family, and they have to go in this public humiliation and then court. Man, that's a tough one.
You know, yes, it is. And thank you, Tanisha, for bringing it up. I want to go to Ashende, and I'll come to you, Joe. But before I go to Ashende, I want to say this, because if I don't say it, I'm going to forget. And thank you. And, you know, this is one of the things I appreciate about listeners calling in, because they get to add more to the show. And when I heard Tanisha's question, and I was thinking about what would I say, I didn't have an answer. Because what came up for me was, if someone's already feeling broken and they feel, whew, and they're broken, they're not really, they don't have the strength, the power, the emotional strength, the mind to even reach out. And then as Don Wolf was talking, I kept saying, okay, what is the answer? What is the answer? And for me, I get to tune into spirit and go on a deeper level to get to what is the answer. Because I know there's an answer, but I can come up with one. And what I heard for me is, you know, when we observe that, if we know somebody in that situation, I'm going to come to you, Ashende, but I just want to get this out because I know we can go so many places with it. When you observe somebody in that situation where the law is not on their side and the person feels like, I'm really broken and I'm reaching out for help and you know, I'm alone here, that is the response. Now, community have a responsibility to stand behind the woman, to stand behind the man, whoever it is, behind the child, to be the voice rather than just getting on social media saying, you know, that's just wrong, you know, because, you know, it's all about power. They got power over her. And we all have to move beyond the talking, because I'm also sitting with what Joe said. It's like if we were to sit in a room with victims and they tell the story, we will have, if the four of us, Joe, Ashende, and Don Wolf and myself, get to sit with victims and get to now have another conversation, it will be completely different. I know that for sure. I know that. But, Ashende, I'm going to throw it to you. And, okay, you there, my brother, Ashende?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm going to come into the conversation of survivor instead of victim. And a lot comes into what was coming up for me as I was listening to everybody share was the article that you sent about the three scariest words a boy can hear. So when you read that, you go down to what Ehrman said that his father gave him as advice, which is, men don't need, men don't want, men don't touch, men don't feel. If you're going to be a man in this world, you better learn how to dominate and control people and circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so if you got enough people on both ends of the spectrum, women who feel that that is the way a man should be and men who feel that that is how a man should be, and it would be interesting to get into the conversation on those kind of things, how women are taught certain things that apply to that, you know, being subservient or whatnot. But when you have that kind of backing in your mind and it's constantly perpetuated, then you kind of throw to the side, first of all, respecting and honoring a woman's sensuality, sensual expression. You know, some I know from my instance that the majority of women that had that issue come upon them weren't the, you know, they were powerful beings, basically. Mm-hmm. And they were women who had a power, even including my mom. She was a powerful woman, or is a powerful woman. And so, you know, she expressed that power. So when you have women who are, I think that's what that's on. But I have to right. You know, my daughter's crying.
So. Yeah, go take it and just come back when you're ready. No problem.
Right.
Because people will start talking about, I can't even believe his son is crying. He's not paying attention. Wait, Joe. What happened to Joe?
I'm here.
Joe? Oh, David. Where you are?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. I hear
you. There you are. I see you. Okay, good.
Okay.
Good. I see you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Your another question. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, my, you know, the question, and I would say, you know, if I was in the situation of the caller, I would be really encouraging the victim to be getting help, to be reaching out to a sexual assault center or getting support, that's the, you know, that's the triage that needs to happen.
first before going next steps and to trying to change the behavior of the perpetrator or bring consequences to the perpetrator. And I, you know, and the other thing is, I think it's important to be, and I like the way Shende used the word survivor, because I think with all of this, it's so important to be conscious of what words we're using, and I think there are both victims and survivors, and that they're that those terms are not interchangeable. I think the survivors are the ones who, you know, and this is just my interpretation, are that, you know, the people who work through the impact of this or work on the impact of this, they're never, you know, the experience never goes away, as opposed to a victim who is, you know, it is so susceptible to continue to be dominated, whether by that perpetrator or others. Anyway, but yeah, as far as the caller goes, it's like, get help for the person. Go to people who understand how this plays out in the lives of the victims.
Right. And you know, I'll say this, and I'm going to come back to you, Tanisha. I'm glad you called back in because you got dropped.
The other thing, actually, you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt. The other thing I would recommend for Tanisha is there's a wonderful book called Allies in Healing. That is about being in a relationship with somebody who was who experienced sexual abuse, primarily somebody who experienced it as a child. But it talks about the dynamics of being a friend or a lover of someone who has experienced this trauma, and it's a really useful tool.
What's the author of that book? You can just find it when you.
Ellen. Ellen Bass is one of the authors, I believe, and
okay.
I take that back. It's Laura Davis, L-A-U-R-A Davis, D-A-V-I-S. Okay. Allies in Healing: When the Person You Love Was Sexually Abused as a Child.
Yeah, we may be getting Laura on. Let me go to Tanisha and hear her thoughts on what she's heard so far. Tanisha, welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey there. Right. Did you hear something that speaks to your question, your answer, what you're... Okay. Anything that you want to say to the men or anything you want to add?
Well, I particularly like the whole concept of when you said, you know, a victim versus a survivor. Like, of course, you know, as a person who has gone through it, I think that there is a shift. You know, you have a consciousness, okay, I am a victim, and then... Of course, you have to make that transition to being a survivor. But one of the things that I did want to address is, especially if you bring in the aspect of spirituality, because that's a whole other part of the woman's healing process.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
women, you know, they go for the help and the assistance. And then sometimes if they don't speak Christianese or whatever the spiritual verbiage is, you know, that sometimes can mentally oppress a woman, that she may feel like, instead of being the victim, quote unquote, that she is the victimizer. Maybe if I am a better wife, maybe if I'm a better homemaker, maybe, you know, you go through that whole, maybe if I didn't dress a certain way. So that was another aspect when you all talked about it. You know, I just thought about the part of sometimes the victim feels like the victimizer, and that's why she has a hump over trying to survive it. I'm at school. But the good thing is, I think one of the solutions is, number one, letting a woman know that I am in your corner and I'm ready to listen.
Yes.
And then number two, having the appropriate resources to say, okay, this is where you can go, and to equip her with being able to mentally address it so she doesn't feel like she has to shrink or hide or be ashamed, you know, just linking her up to the resources and not from a distant perspective, but from a hands-on place, like this is who you can talk to and this is who, you know, I'm willing to sit with you and walk you through it. So, you know, and then having other men who are not victimizers in her life so that she also has a balance of what it is to feel like she has a safe space.
Mm-hmm. I can't thank you enough for your contribution, because you're definitely in alignment with what I'm thinking, what I'm hearing Ashende, Joe, and Don Wolf talk about. And because for me, there's somebody said to me one time, is there any topic you want to take on your show? I'm thinking, I don't think so if it's about healing, because even though this may be look at something separate from the spiritual walk, and you bring up a valid point, this is still, for me, this is still about spirituality. This is about honoring another human being. This is about coming together collectively and supporting somebody else who is in pain. Because if one person is in pain, we're all in pain. Because if we ignore it, we affect it one way or the other. You might end up having a mother who was raped and abused, have her children, and because of that was never healed, passed into her children, and then that son ends up becomes your son-in-law. Either way, or they become a politician, or they become a minister. So for me, what you're saying about the spirituality is, I want to create a space. I want to be a stand for looking at life as a spiritual experience. Because when you said that too, I thought of people might even think, depending on their spiritual belief, like, oh, maybe this is God's way of punishing me for what I did in the past. And all of that we need to let go of. So I'm really, really grateful for your contribution and your point of view. And I got to ask you this, something. Is this a tradition that I know? Or this is somebody
yes,
that you
it
know?
Is.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
I was trying to hear the yes. voice, but I'm like, just stay and talk to me. Okay, hey.
Yes, of course.
thanks for the conversation.
It's so needed and timely, so thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, darling. Thank you very much. Woo! Woo, there's so much. Thank you, Tanisha. And you're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. Let's drink some water. We usually take a break, 1 o'clock? But we didn't today. But we're going to take a quick, just short break. So that's going to come on to give us some announcements, maybe some things are going on in the social media world, meaning chat room and on Facebook, if there's anything like that. I saw some comments in the chat room. And then we're going to continue the conversation. I think we're going to eliminate some of the things, but we'll see. I want to emphasize this point. The same friend, and I want to say this, the friend that said to me today, you're courageous, that's one way I would describe her. And my understanding of what she's saying is, you know, it takes the reason why some of the atrocities that we experience on this planet, the reason it happens, not a lot of people want to talk about it. Or when people talk about it, now they can be the point of attack. They can be the person people want to attack because people are in pain. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm saying we've got to talk about it. And we don't have to agree, but can we hold the mindset of healing? That I don't have to agree with Don Wolf or Joe or Shende or any of my listeners. But if the intention is, how can we bring solution to this? How can we heal this? You got my attention. And we can't do that. So for me, what I heard is that being able to have that as a show, because it's so easy to project on the person who sings the most loudest. Like, well, it's all right for you to say, you don't understand. But we all need to speak up. And that also ties into a conversation I had with his same friend. He said, you know, you got to understand, I know, you know, being from Nigerian parentage and raised in England, but mainly from Nigeria, you know, she says, in America, we don't have that community thing down. We act like we have a community, and some people might disagree or agree or not, but what she said, you know, it's all about people going to their own home, and I think all the things that we're experiencing right now is forcing us, causing us, challenging us to step into a consciousness of uniting with one another. Just because someone lives in a different neighborhood doesn't mean you're separated from them. And that's why I like the book, Allies in Healing, because that's what's needed. We need to go beyond just talking about it, making comments from Facebook and social media, and really putting action behind what we believe, particularly in the area of healing and support. Let me bring on Celeste, and I need to drink some water. Ashende, Joe, Doug Wolf, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to do some life announcement, and then we'll come back and continue the conversation. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. press 1 on your keypad. If you're already listening on the phone line and you have something to say or share, press 1 on your keypad. And even if you're using Skype, there's a way to press 1. And if you don't know how and you want to join the conversation, because there's people listening on Skype, so and you want to join the conversation, then go in the chat and just say, I am, blah, 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 I want to add. Celeste.
Yes. We have some really powerful listeners. One of them actually was responsible for working on the Georgia Bench book for rape and domestic violence. And there is no funding for this program anymore, interesting note. But besides that, EarthWebs also shared some powerful things. The brothers are getting lots of hugs in the chat room. But this pertains directly to Tanisha's question, and I definitely want to make sure that she got that as well to add to the mix from EarthWebs. In the case where the perpetrator is a cop lawyer, the woman needs to stand her ground, surround herself with the sisterhood and men who will support and stand with her. Don't feed the monkeys by responding to the negativity that will be tossed at them. Powerful conversation. Here's another piece. This is where inner strength really comes in, but most women won't have that much strength. That's where support of people or programs come in. They are the best cheerleaders, like an alcoholic sponsor holds them up. These women need the same level of support from friends, family, and programs. So that's a nutshell. There's a lot going on in the chat room, but I definitely wanted to bring out a practical suggestion on ways to, we can think about how we're stepping into this situation as well. And my cat apparently has a really strong opinion, too.
Right. This is what I want to do, Celeste. Right after the live announcement, I want you to go straight into Celestial Moment. So just kind of tune in and realign yourself. I was going to play clip. And it's a conversation Reverend Deborah Johnson had on her show last Tuesday about power. It's 8 minutes and 28 seconds long, so I don't have time to play that. But I would encourage listeners to go to the show, and that was last Tuesday. What date is that? Last Tuesday was July 22nd, 2014. Reverend Deborah Johnson spoke of the spiritual quality of power, and she talks about power and what it looks like in as it relates to rape, because Celeste asked a question around Jada. I'm not going to play that clip today because we don't have the time. But if you really are committed to being part of the healing, if you're really seeking an answer, I strongly recommend you listen to that show, because it brings power down in a way that is applicable, that is practical. So Celeste, let's do the life announcement and just roll into Celestial Moment so we can continue the conversation.
You got it. I will put the link for Living in the Yes in the chat room when I'm done so people can tap into that. Great. So, family, I know this is an intense show, and we appreciate your energy in lifting this healing vibration as well. I want to let you know about what else is coming up on Life Conversations Radio Network. Next week, Life Coach Today is flying solo. Feeling stuck? Are life's challenges getting the best of you? That's a good time to check in. You get to have your one-on-one time with Life Coach Today at 12 p.m. Eastern on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. I'll be there, too, around 1 for Celestial Moment. Now, tomorrow morning, you can join Life Coach Today at his other home, on 12radio.com at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern for Soul Food for Your Consciousness. Get a little zest in your life when you join him on 12radio.com on Transformational Tuesdays. Then make sure you come on back home to Life Conversations Radio for Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson on Living in the Yes at 9 p.m. Eastern. She will be focusing on love tomorrow. What's love got to do with it? Everything. So make sure you join the powerful conversation. Special announcement, Life Coach Today is very busy this week. He will be the special guest on It's a New Dawn with Jamie Dawn on 12radio.com at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern this Wednesday.
And can you believe it's the last Wednesday of the month? Well, that means you get to check out another airing of Ancestral Blueprints this week with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today at 12 p.m. Eastern. And make sure you join Ambassador Sofero on a play experience, passionately loving and appreciating you, every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. She'll be continuing her powerful conversation about her trip to Australia, and we'll be airing a conversation with the Aboriginal singing group called the Sapphires. How strong is your sound? Make sure you join her. And finally, you know, I'll be keeping you company every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on a Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan, where I explore tarot, movies, and numbers to give you a fresh perspective about how you can see your life. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com for more information about these shows. And now we're going to deal with your spiritual weather report. Hello, family. It's my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that's showing up in our life right now. I come bearing a number gift. Six is the energy of the day, and it's ruled by the planet Venus. It's a peace lover, and it's also known as the Cosmic Mother. Today, we're going to put the spotlight on the Jaguar of the medicine cards. Its number is not six. It's actually 51. But when you add 5 plus 1, you get 6. So here we go. Sacred Jaguar, teach me to wear my power lightly, to walk with impeccability, to approach life with compassion, and to live up to the integrity of my human potential. The Jaguar has a mission to devour the unclean aspects of human behavior. The Jaguar comes stalking around the edges of your life to get you to stop leaking your life force, your energy. The Jaguar offers rewards of good medicine to those who stand in their personal integrity and walk through life in an impeccable manner. Don't get tripped up making this be about being perfect. That line of thinking will take you off your path. Remember, the Jaguar medicine teaches that personal integrity allows for mistakes, embraces forgiveness, and humbly makes self-directed corrections, allowing a rebalanced spirit to triumph once again. All is well, and that's the story of six told to our friend the Jaguar through the medicine cards. I'll see you on Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste, for that medicine, because that's really what is needed. Sometimes we've got to be willing to make a mistake when we follow, walk in the direction of our personal integrity. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. And in a minute, I need you to give that phone numbers again, the hotline numbers.
Absolutely.
But you're listening to the Ask Life Coach at A Radio Show. This song you hear in the background is Destiny Muhammad, Harpist from the Hood. And you can find out more about her by going to her website, destinymuhammad.com. This song is called Music, Song, Music. It's called Grace. The grace of God, the grace of love, the grace of good is upon, within, all around each and every one of us. And we're having a conversation that we activate the grace within us so we may experience it. As a matter of fact, you don't have to do anything to experience the grace. All that's needed is just one person. One is enough. I have Don Wolf, Keeper of Stories. Joe Kelly, the Dad Man. Ashende, a spiritual practitioner, having a conversation, being a place for healing around topics like rape, domestic violence, and respecting women. And this has been super heavy for me, and I'm still feeling it. When the Celestial Show, I'm like, I think I'm going to go lay down after this show. Woo! So Celeste, before I go back to the brothers, please give us those numbers real quick again. The domestic violence number, hotline number, the rape, and you have the Healing Woman Power Center, something like that, right?
That's right. Having a little technical difficulty here, but I gotcha. Okay, yeah, that number... And I've been posting it and reposting it in the chat room as well. The National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 1-800-799-7233.
1-800-799-7233. 1-800-799-7233. And the nationwide RAIN National Rape Crisis hotline number is 1-800-656-4673. That's 800-656-4673. And one more, the Healing Woman Foundation for Abuse, 1-800-477-4111. 1-800-477-4111.
Thank you, Celeste. So I'm going to bring on the brothers, and I encourage you, anybody who's experiencing any kind of abuse, if you start to think, is this abuse? Do your research and reach out. Don't wait till it gets so serious, because at the beginning, you're like, I didn't think it was. Well, I thought he was just having a bad day. I thought she was just upset. But when you find yourself, it's important for us to trust ourselves, do the spiritual work. I wanted to just lift for a moment, even though they don't have time. It's like sometimes we think there's a spiritual work and there's real life. There's spirituality and there's real life. No, it's all the same. It's all the same. Let me bring on Ashende, Joe Kelly, and Don Wolf. And what I want to do, since, I don't want to say we'll continue next month or whatever or something, but it's like, I don't know, I need another 2-3 months to have this kind of, to continue this conversation. But what I want to do, my friends, is I want to hear your thoughts. I know there's so much more you want to say, but right now we don't have that time. I want to really hear what you think we can do individually, collectively, as parents, as uncles, as aunts. What can we teach our young boys? What can we teach our young girls so they can respect themselves, to avoid stuff like this, especially in the world where they're bombarded with a lot of violence? Some of the games, I haven't played it before. I don't actually think I've gone online to look for it. What's that, Grand Theft Auto or something like that, where apparently you get more points based on the amount of people you kill, and there's a place where you kill a prostitute. And there's so many things on the internet that our young people are exposed to. So what I'm going to do, let me start with Ashende. What are some of the things you will share with us that we can do as adults, and how the things that you share with young people to empower themselves? Be aware of the time. We've got about 10 more minutes to have this conversation. But you don't have 10 minutes to yourself. You're sharing the 10 minutes.
Definitely 10 minutes. Well, we definitely want to be mindful as to what we are.
Can you hear me? Yes. I was saying we want to be mindful on what we are processing via media outlet, via, you know, a kind of outmoded consciousness, you know, back to the article that you gave us, you know, that kind of mentality is still being perpetuated into young boys. I was saying earlier, maybe we can get into a conversation on the flip mode of that, on what's being regurgitated to young girls on that same aspect. And so you want to teach our kids to just be present with themselves, and what are feelings and what are emotions and what is sensuality, and to honor those things because they're all sacred. You know, we are sensual beings, and so we're still kind of in a Victorian age mental framework of our own sensuality and sexuality. And those two are different. You know, right. People are still thinking that sensuality and sexuality are the same. And what is power? And what does it mean when you get into a sense of people who feel powerless, you know, people who are not at a certain economic level, who feel powerless and want to engage in power triumphs via, being a predator to a woman. You know, and women who feel powerless and feel that that's the only way that they can be accepting and have a connection with a man, you know, to give up their power. And so you want to just have those conversations and be very direct. I thank God my mom was always direct to me, and people came into my life very direct and forward and not sugarfooting and sugarcoating and passing around things that are very dire to one's outward development. So just having those conversations, you know, and keeping that eye on the prize and razor sharp, I think, you know, we can get along quite well.
Yeah. And for me, what I'm hearing is it's waking up. It's paying attention. We all need to wake up, and we need to really think about the games that we're buying for our children, the games we get to play when they're around you. And if there's outgoing and sound, whatever you want to call it, if you're buying games for your children that have violence in it, then you need to really check in. Ooh, what is that? Then you need to check with yourself and think, is this in alignment to what you say, your own personal integrity? Joe Kelly, solution, what would you share with us as adults, how we can be part of the solution, part of the healing, so we can create a world that works for everybody?
Well, I think I completely embrace and second everything that Don Wolf just said. It's, you know, it's so important to be, and what you just said, Ade, you know, it's so important to be really conscious of the choices we're making and what it is we're teaching our children, I can't do better than what Don Wolf said. And that was a shende. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was just so captivated by what he was saying. I wasn't paying attention to who was saying. My apologies, sir. I think the other thing we can do is to take it seriously when we encounter someone who has been harmed. You know, not to minimize it or pretend it isn't there, and to sit with it and listen to it, even though it's incredibly painful and it may feel shameful to us to know that our brothers participated in this. But we've got to respect and take it seriously when someone is harmed this way, and not pretend otherwise, and respect it and take it seriously, even when it's uncomfortable and it hurts us to do it.
Yes.
We're gonna have to be in pain. That's just the way it is, and it may or may not be quote unquote fair, but it doesn't change what we need to do.
Yes. Yes, so true. And I gotta highlight that point. Healing, you gotta be in pain. You just gotta be in pain. And I think if we can just sit with that, being able to listen to somebody else share their story, and it will trigger our pain. Even if you've never been raped before, but you've had some kind of pain, you may feel that you've had some kind of experience that reminds you of what the person went through. If we can make space and create a space and a place for our own pain, and even letting go of doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing, just creating a space for our own pain, we can get more done. Let me go to Don Wolf. Don Wolf, keeper of stories. Got about 2 minutes to, I'm going to give you 2 minutes because we've got to wrap the show up. And what would you share, Don Wolf? What would you share with adults, our young people, that we create a world that works for everybody, where we honor the feminine energy, where we respect women, where, you know, we value one another?
That's a lot there, but in a brief as I can be, there has to be learning to become a man as a mysterious as it is mysterious to become a woman, but it's a developmental process. Even if we state the obvious, children have to be, parents have to unlearn, children need to be initiated.
Yes.
Most people are not going to do that. Mm-hmm. What I've noticed from my vantage point of having raised children and now I'm having grandchildren, one of the most disturbing differences that I see is that this generation of parents are dominated by fear and need to be popular. And I would, before any of the things I mentioned came in play, my first challenge to parents and is to tell them to, this, my suggestion would be, shut off, you don't need the internet to raise a child, and I would shut off the television. Mm-hmm. But I was saying that knowing that most people don't have that level of commitment to developing their child, and it plays into the fact that the commitment to healing at the level that we're talking about, I know realistically is not going to happen. But so I know, I recognize that we're talking to a small group of people who will do these things to make these changes, mm-hmm. to create the children for the next generation that will be healers, that will not participate in these predatory practices. But also know there's always the small groups that create the largest and the greatest changes in society, because most people are followers and they're fearful. And I have to tell myself that from time to time to stay focused, because it's very frustrating knowing that most people are cowards and that parents, it's more popular now, they like to play games and pretend that they're this and they're that, but they just basically give up power and they whine. Oh, my child's watching this on the internet. Shut it off. You don't need the internet at all to raise a child. So we're back to talking about power.
About 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Go ahead. 30 seconds.
Back to talking about power, which Joe spoke of or touched. And this is the question. Actually, all of us have touched on it. This is about power. But I think Joe's – no, it was you. You said not you. It was you. I'm pointing finger because you got the little girl back there. But it's about power. And what is power, as was said before? And those who are willing to answer that question – or you first ask it and then answer it, they're more likely than not are going to start doing the things that will create solutions that we need as a society. But, again, most people are not going to do it. So we're only talking to the powerful ones who will do it, and those are the ones who will make the change that will shift the consciousness.
Indeed. Well, Joe's one that brought up the power thing. I joined in, and I also would say it's power, it's sex, it's a lot more, it's culture, it's mindset, it's religion, it's what's acceptable, what isn't, it's so much more. And what I want to put out there, we're going to send you guys an email. I want to continue the conversation sometime within the next 3-4 weeks, but, you know, we'll see what time works for you if you guys are available, because I want to focus more on the chosen few who are going to be part of the difference, who are going to be part of the healing, is very important. And I just want to take this moment to thank you deeply from the bottom of my heart, Don Wolf, Joe Kelly, Ashende, thank you for your presence, thank you for your consciousness, thank you for your thoughts and everything that you shared with us today. There's so much more, but, you know, those who have ears hear. So I thank you for your presence, and I look forward to continuing the conversation more about solution-based and really maybe even giving a space for the common sense that people think is strange, because that's part of what's missing. Thank you very much to each and every one of you. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
You all.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Oh, Lord. We're taking this to the last drop. Okay. And listeners, thank you for your consciousness. Thank you for who you are in the world. And, you know, each and every one of us have a different role on this planet. For some of us, it's just to listen. And through your listening, you get to be different. For some of us, is you're going to take what you heard and put it into action. Some people are going to create an organization. Some people are going to create a movement. But it's all valid. It's all valid. And some people would say, I just can't do it. I don't have time. I'm trying to take care of my kids. Whatever it is, if the intention is about love, it's about healing, it's about togetherness, we're all moving in the same direction. And that's what I want us to hold on to. To hold on to the energy of healing. If you don't know the answer, continue to do your own spiritual practice. Challenge what you believe, what you think is true, what you think is right, or what you think is evil. Challenge yourself to get a new meaning, because we need each other. It's easy to point fingers, but, it, you know, wherever you stand on this point, on this planet, try and get a different point of view. It's time to release the show. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And I really believe this. I know this. That all of it fades into love. It all fades into God. Get a new understanding of love. I'm not talking about an emotional thing. I'm talking about the healing power, the healing presence that takes a victim, a survivor, to somebody starting an organization and inspiring other people. Allow love to transform you, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning on 1-2 Radio, 10 a.m. Eastern, for Soul Food for Your Consciousness. Be loved, be true to yourself, and for goodness sake, allow yourself to be loved. Ricky Byers Beckwith, it all fades into love. It all fades into God. It all fades into God. There you go.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.